It's Marketplace Tech for Monday the 25th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Tomorrow, Verizon reports earnings. But today, let's talk about recent reports that after a long bidding process, Verizon may be the final home for struggling internet giant Yahoo. Assuming this does happen, what will Verizon do with Yahoo's assets? Marketplace senior tech correspondent Molly Wood is here with more. Molly, hello.
Hey, Ben. How are you?
I'm good. So what is Verizon going to do with all of Yahoo's users?
It's very likely that Yahoo will be in some way sort of merged into AOL, which is what Verizon has basically set up as its media property. So I wouldn't be surprised if the editorial starts to look a little more like AOL. Some of the properties may retain the same branding because they didn't do much to change the way the AOL stuff looked. What I think they'll really do a lot with is that Yahoo sales team and the Yahoo ad tech.
Aha. It's going to sell them a bunch of ads.
It's going to sell them a bunch of ads. Yahoo is so good at selling advertising, and I think people really don't realize that about its content portfolios.
What's going to happen with these patents that everybody keeps talking about? Do we have any sense of that?
That is up in the air. The early reports were that the Verizon deal would only include the so-called real estate and not the intellectual property.
Right.
And if that's the case, then Yahoo, you know, what's left of Yahoo, the corporation, can turn around and sell those patents for sort of a different war chest, or maybe even to a totally different buyer.
Molly Wood, senior tech correspondent for Marketplace. Molly, thanks a lot.
My pleasure, Ben.
It's easy to forget that before this, there was this. And even before Pokemon Go became the most downloaded app ever during its launch week in the iTunes Store, or Super Mario Bros. Was pushed into gray square consoles and plugged into televisions, Nintendo was making an impact in Japan. The company was founded in the 1880s, if you can believe that. A few days ago, Pokemon Go launched in Nintendo's country of origin, so we figured time for a brief history lesson. David Sheff is the author of the book Game Over, How Nintendo Conquered the World. David, tell me about Nintendo before video games.
Nintendo was a really old and small company in Japan that was in the same family for about 100 years. And it evolved over time. Originally, it did construction. It did all kinds of things. Their big product was called Hanafuda. It was sort of a card game, more like Mahjong. These tiles, very complicated.
Very analog,
as analog as you can get.
In your book, you wrote about Suguro Miyamoto, who you say was essential to crafting the culture at Nintendo.
I mean, he was an artist, but he was, you know, sort of the kind of artist who was a dreamer, who was not afraid to reject everything that had been in the past, you know, way of thinking about games. Walking down the road to school when he was a child, there was this dog on a chain that always came running after him and would have got him if it didn't get stopped by the chain and sort of jerked back. And you know, Super Mario, the original Super Mario game, you know, had this chain chopper in there. And so he brought real life, as you know, sort of a great artist does, into a video game. It had never happened before.
This is something that carries through to Pokemon Go too, right? It's also this kind of blend of fantasy and the real world.
It is. The great games become part of our experience of the world, and this game does bridge our internal world and our external world.
David Sheff, he is a journalist and author. He wrote the book Game Over, How Nintendo Conquered the World. David, thank you very much for talking to me.
Well, it's great to talk to you. Thank you.
When I was a kid, I went to the house of some vague friend of a friend. It had an amazing room in it, a library of sorts, with shelves not full of books, full of videotapes. Endless options with colorful dust covers, a big old tube TV, and the key to it all, a VHS player, or VCR. I wanted to move in and live there forever. I didn't get to. VHS players and the videotapes they play are also coming to an end. The last company that makes VHS, in Japan, by the way, called Funai, is calling it quits on that product this week. The materials needed to build the players are too hard to source. So who is still using VHS, or at least hasn't thrown their old tapes and player out yet? We went in search of these people. They exist. Kenneth Burns is a Metro reporter for WYPR in Baltimore. He's got dub tapes of old news clips, the film 12 Angry Men. He likes the nostalgia of coming home to his trusty VHS player after setting it to tape something while he was out.
There's something about setting up your VCR, going to, let's say, class or church or wherever you needed to go, and then come back and you have a program that you really wanted to watch just waiting for you in your VCR. All you got to do is be kind of rewind.
Another person we found is John Ahrens at WHYY in Philadelphia. He's got a serious collection of old cartoons. He still loves them.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say twice a year I go through a big phase of wanting to revisit the Daffy Ducks and the Porky Pigs of yore.
Come back, Humpty Bumpy. Come back. Don't leave me alone.
A lot of titles on VHS never made it to DVD or got digitized officially, so thank goodness for the people who upload those titles onto YouTube. Will VHS be back in vogue someday, like vinyl is for recorded music? Aaron's again.
VHS is an imperfect technology. I mean, if anything, the equivalent, I feel like, to vinyl would be if reel-to-reels are brought back into fashion.
Wendy Chamberlain loved the film Aliens on VHS.
Punch it, Bishop!
She helped run Videology Video Rentals in Brooklyn for a while.
We were just a video store from 2003 all the way till 2012, and it just kind of got worse and worse, so we were forced to make a decision, like, are we going to close, or are we going to, you know, what are we going to do?
Sometimes an old technology business just needs a new feature or two, so now it's the Videology Bar and Cinema in Brooklyn. Wendy is still there. And just in case you are scoffing at all of this, like who even buys VHS players anymore, that Japanese company, Funai, wasn't doing bad business. They sold 750,000 players last year. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.